Amen to that, brother. Well, Merry Christmas. Shalom. Peace be upon you this great and wonderful day. Do we all understand the meaning of today? We will see. We will see. My name is Abdil. As you can tell, I'm a shepherd. As my father was, and his father, and his father. Being a shepherd may not be a very exciting profession, but I want to tell you some things. Being a shepherd has taught me about God. Yes, it has. And also, being a shepherd allowed me to be part of something truly amazing. Some have called it the greatest story ever told. I want to tell you about this story. I see this little display up here. Do you realize that I was there that night? Just a lad, I was. I think this is me. I was only around 11. What an amazing night. You know, the little baby in the manger. Many people still don't fully understand the significance of this little child. Even in my day, some believed and some did not. Some flat out rejected him. Others hated and despised him. But for the person, for the heart that understands the child, for that heart there is peace beyond understanding. There is joy that overflows and is inexpressible. There's a love to experience that is pure and perfect. This morning, I hope we all leave here in a little bit understanding the babe in the manger. I guess for me to fully explain it to you, I must begin at the beginning. So it was a cold night. If you know anything about sheep, sheep don't smell too good. And so as shepherds, we have to keep the sheep outside of town, away from the common folk. And that cold night was just like all the other nights before. My grandfather and my father and I were tending our sheep. We were in this little valley just on the outskirts of Bethlehem. And it was a dark night, but there were stars as far as you could see. You couldn't even count the stars. There was a cool, almost cold wind blowing. As we sat there watching our sheep, my father noticed what looked like a silhouette of a man up on the ridge above us. And we're trying to watch and see who he was. We thought he was a man until he started to glow. I kid you not. It was just soft at first, a white, bluish light just around him. But as we watched, the light intensified. Something, I can't even describe it with words, but the light started to fill the whole valley. And from this pure light, it was like warmth. It was, the chill of the night was just gone. As a young lad, I wasn't sure what was going on. And I thought about running and hiding. But just then, this man, who later I came to understand was an angel, this is what he said to us. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. As he finished that verse, All of a sudden, just as many stars were in the sky, angels started appearing with this other angel. They started to fill the sky. It was as far as you could see, and all of a sudden, I can still remember, they started to sing. Oh, it was so beautiful. The most amazing choir I'd ever heard. The sound was like heaven and earth combined, singing praise unto God. But as quickly as they appeared, they disappeared. And the darkness and the cold came back into the valley. I looked over at my father, and he was just there, and his eyes were so big, and his mouth open. He was just, I guess, in shock. But my grandfather was jumping up and down. I'd never seen him jump up and down before. He was praising God and declaring the truth. And you see, my grandfather, even though he's just a lowly shepherd, my grandfather's a man of the word. He has studied the prophets of old, read their writings, memorized great passages of the Torah, the Psalms, and he's taught them to his whole family. My grandfather looked over and said, "It has begun." I said, "What has begun, grandfather?" The prophecies, the Messiah. Just as the angels have declared to us, let us go and see this child. And so my grandfather started taking off, and he was moving faster than I ever seen my grandfather move. I kept up with him, but we got to the outskirts of town. And there's a main road going into Bethlehem. And as you come in, on the left-hand side is an inn. And the owner of the inn, not a nice guy. You want to stay away from him. But as we passed the inn, I heard a baby cry. But it wasn't coming from in the inn. It was coming from behind it. So my grandfather and us, we walked around the corner and behind the inn. And there were some stables there. And there was a young couple. And just as the angels had said, their baby was wrapped, swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. My grandfather approached him, and he immediately went down to his knees. He was shaking. And my grandfather's got some hard hands. They've been working all his life, and when he grabs you, you know it. You know, he grabs your ear or whatever, gives it a good twist. But that day, his hands, he caressed that baby's cheek so softly. And then he did something, again, I've never seen my grandfather do. He began to cry. Great big tears rolling down his old face. We stayed there for a little bit. Then my grandfather says, "We must share. We must tell the world, tell everyone in town." And so, you know, it was really early, early in the morning by now, and he started running through the streets declaring the Messiah, declaring the little child born. They named him Jesus, which is pretty neat because when you know the name, it says means God saved. My grandfather started waking people up, and people started coming from all around, and again, some were excited and some were angry. We had woken them up so early. It was a great day. I've never seen my grandfather so full of life. Well, a couple days later, the family left, and we went back to our jobs as shepherds. And I guess it's been about 50 years now. My grandfather's no longer here. My father's no longer here. But I remember that night like it was yesterday. Well, you see, this little baby Jesus, he grew up to be a great man. When he was around 30 years old, he started to preach and teach all over Israel the truths of the kingdom of God. He upset a lot of people, including all those Pharisees, Sadducees, and lawyers. Who cares about the lawyers, right? Even Caiaphas, the high priest. Well, it wasn't long. About 3 years, the authorities, they conspired together and had Jesus arrested, handed him over to the Romans, and they crucified this man Jesus. I was there. I heard the nails, the hammer striking each one as they pierced his hands and his feet. Most of his disciples had forsaken him, and his followers seemed hopeless. But not I. No, not I. You see, my grandfather, I told you, he had taught us the word. The prophet Isaiah had always prophesied that the Messiah would be born. A suffering servant of Israel he would be. He would lay his life down. King David wrote in Psalms 22 that the Messiah's hands and feet would be pierced. But also in the Psalms and through the prophets, that the Messiah would reign forever, meaning death was only temporary. The Messiah would rise. All this predicted hundreds of years, even before that fateful night when Jesus was born. I knew from Scripture. And so I had great hope and great joy. And that joy was realized 3 days after the crucifixion, when the authorities could no longer explain why the tomb was empty, why the authorities could not stop the truth by producing a body. For with God, all things are possible. Raising someone from the dead is not hard for God, especially when that person was perfect and sinless and did not deserve to die in the first place. Yes. This morning, I don't want this story to be about me. I don't want you to leave here thinking about me. For I am just a fellow believer and disciple of Jesus Christ. I want you to leave here, if you're already a believer, understanding the joy of this day. If you're not a believer, maybe you'll become one. But you know, there's a group of people that I run into constantly that profess Christ. They claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, but their lives show something completely different. It's easy to claim. It's It's another thing to live it and for it to be real. Jesus said about many, they confess me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Maybe that describes you when it comes to Jesus Christ. Oh, you profess to love him, but you don't follow him. Your life really doesn't have time for him. If that is you, then you are missing out on so much. And in a very dangerous place. I want to share a psalm with you. Bring the psalm up, please. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. God is righteous. You can always count on him. He will never, ever do you wrong. He is gracious. He always shows grace. He does judge because he's a God of justice. But he's also a God of love, so he always shows grace before judgment comes. The Lord is near. He is here for everyone, from the highest king and world leader to the lowliest of us all, even us shepherds. He is near for everyone. But to have him, you must understand. And know him, not just about him, but know him. And you have to understand him in truth. I want to share that truth with you. This is what John said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you understand what this is saying? Jesus was a baby, a seed of the woman. He was human, but he was also God. He was the God-man, fully human and fully God at the same time. A miracle. Those who say they believe in Jesus, but they do not follow him, must not understand that they are talking about God, and you can't fool God. God sees all, knows all. He looks into the heart. And he understands those who talk with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. The first truth about Jesus Christ we must know is he is God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. The second truth, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming. This is John the Baptist. He was here a couple weeks ago, wasn't he? Good guy. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He came to be a lamb, to sacrifice his life for the sins of the world. My sin and your sin. Because we've all sinned. Look what Isaiah says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you understand what that's saying? Sin. God created us without it. He desired this world to be a good world, not filled with hate, but love. But in his perfect love, he gave humanity free will to truly love him back. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Humanity has not loved God back. We have all broken his commandments. We've all sinned. We've all lied. Is there anyone in here who has never lied? Good, I was going to have to hit you over my head, over the head, if you would raise your hand. We've stolen. We've hated people. We've dishonored mom and dad. We've broken his rules. That sin separates us from God. He describes us like sheep. No, go back one. He describes us like sheep here, doesn't he? We all. Let me tell you something as a shepherd. Sheep, they're not too smart. If one walks into a river and drowns, guess what? The rest will try to follow. I kid you not. Sheep are a timid animal. They can't run fast. They have no defensive skills whatsoever or ability. They can't fight the wolf off. Sheep are defenseless. Without a shepherd, the sheep would not survive. It's the same with our sin nature. We cannot defend against the sin nature. It is within us. We all sin. We all break God's laws, and that sin has separated us from our loving Father. But God loved us so much. The sweet young lady, where is she? Where is Sarah? Sarah, there she is. That beautiful verse she read up here. For God so loved the world. God could have just left us in our sin and judged us, but he didn't. He sent Jesus to be that lamb, to be that sacrifice. Why would Jesus come? Why would Jesus want to die for us? Let me show you what John says. Jesus said this himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. You see, there's many in this world trying to lead people away from the truth. But guess what? Those people don't own you. Well, they want to, but they have no claim over you. And they lead people away. But the one who owns us, the one who created us, the one who put on human flesh and dwelt among us, he loves you. And so he has come. You see, the wolf coming, the one that is a hireling sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Next verse. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said again. And I know that my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Do you know who he's talking about there? When he's saying this verse, when he was teaching this, he was talking to the Jews, my countrymen, my blood. But he says, there's sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. The people he's talking about, the sheep not of the fold, is the Gentiles, the non-Jews. You see, the great thing about God is he died for everyone. He died for the world. This world that's filled with so much hatred and racism. Those who despise someone else because of the color of their skin or whatever. Are some of the most ignorant people I've ever met in my entire life. It's just hate. God for so loved the world, everyone. And we all come together to be one flock, under one shepherd. God is so good. Go to the next verse, please. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. You see, God just didn't die for the elect. God just didn't die for Baptists or for the Jews. God died for everyone. Everyone has the ability to receive the gift paid for with the blood of Christ. He might taste death for everyone because he loves everyone. For it is fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, sons and daughters of God, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Christ proved he was perfect all the way through his life to include the suffering on the cross. His sacrifice was perfect for us. This babe born in the manger was born to suffer. Next verse, please. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who are the witnesses? Everyone who has believed and everyone who believes. The great stories from the Bible are all true. Great men and women of faith. All down through the centuries. They lived their lives for God. They were not always perfect. None of them were perfect. They made their mistakes, but they lived for the glory of God, not for themselves. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, when you truly believe in Christ, he comes in and he sets up shop in your life. And you're his project. He makes it become more real than you can ever imagine. It's not religion. It's not just attending church. It's a relationship with God. And he will speak to you. And he'll guide you and direct you and teach you. He'll transform you into what he desires you to be. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was a joy for Christ. As hard as that may sound, it was a joy for him to fulfill the Father's will and to live his life for you and I, so that we could have the greatest gift of all, forgiveness and eternal life with him. Next verse, please. Look at this. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, told you he was raised from the dead, the power of God, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, for us who are true believers, we've been given the greatest gift. But it's not about us. It's not about doing what we want to do. It's about pleasing the Father, just as Christ did. And for those that claim Christ, I cannot be more clear, and it's so important that you hear this. I'm not trying to be mean here, but I must speak the truth. To profess belief in this child that became the man that died on the cross for you. To say you are a true believer and you are going to be with him forever, but your life is all about you. You have no time for his word. You have no time for prayer unless you're in trouble. You have no desire to fulfill his word and be obedient. You are the type that he has described that are speaking with your lips, but your heart is far from him. And many will say to him on judgment day, Lord, Lord. And he'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. How do you know you're a true believer? Because when God comes into your life, the Holy Spirit begins to change you. You're no longer the same person. Your desires change. You show evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. You have a desire to be a part of his church, to serve the cause of the church, to take the good news of the gospel to those who have not yet heard. The greatest thing I can do for anyone in here who is a false believer is to pop the bubble that you live in. Claiming Jesus with your lips, attending church once in a while, being a good person, and knowing about Jesus in your mind is not good enough. I hope you understand that. He wants a relationship. But we must turn from our sins. We must surrender our lives to him as Lord. For that's who he is. He is God. And he is calling us to follow him, to pick up our cross and follow him. And I know you're Americans, right? And I know about the American dream. The American dream is not compatible with the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. The American dream is all about obtaining stuff for you. Life is not about us, folks. It's about Jesus Christ. And no matter what you may accumulate in this life, you cannot take it with you when you die. Let's have a new American dream. A dream where we forsake ourselves and we pick up the cross and we extend that message across the country from sea to shining sea. Let's see your fellow countrymen receive Christ. This night changed my life forever, folks. But even though I was there and I saw it, and I saw Christ crucified, I knew these things and I understood them. I still needed to have that moment with God where I called out in faith, trusting him and only him, for the forgiveness of my sins and for my salvation. As Jesus taught one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have this moment with God when you're saying, God, I'm ready to understand and follow you in truth. Who you are as God. Who you are as my Savior. Who you are as my Lord. Forgive me for my sins. Save me from myself and help me to follow you. I had that moment, and I pray and hope that you have that moment as well. For we must all be born again. I ask you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we look to you as the author and finisher of our faith, as the God who loves us. Lord, you are love, but you are also justice. And so you loved us so much, you came down and let justice be done upon you, who did not deserve to die. But you took our punishment. You took the justice upon yourself because you love us. Oh, Lord, forgive us for not holding that precious. Forgive us for just being complacent about it and not letting it dictate and change who we are, our very lives. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray for those who are true believers in here, Lord, that this is a new day, this holiday will begin a new walk with you, where we let the joy and the peace fill our hearts and our souls. We let the truth renew our minds, and we set about this next year serving you, picking up our cross and following. And Lord, if there's a soul in here who does not know you, who's been lying to themselves, Lord, I ask you to help them understand they're missing out on so much. You love them and you're ready to forgive everything. Where sin abounds, your grace abounds more. No one is beyond your grace. Lord, if we have believed in things that are false about you and your word, let it end today with the truth of this holiday, the truth of the baby. The baby that grew up to be the man who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, let them understand and turn from false beliefs about you and your word. Turn to the truth and begin to learn, to grow, and to share. Lord, we thank you for the night the baby was born. We thank you by your grace and mercy. We pray this. In the name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I love little children. I really do. It's nice to see them in here once in a while. They haven't been in here in 4 years, have they? Not in the service, anyway. The joy of this season is immense. I hope it's going to begin to course through you and you experience what it's all about. Don't let the traditions of the world and stuff get you away from the true meaning. In closing, I want to sing, I think, one of the greatest songs. And I know your pastor talked about this. This is not really a Christmas song, but without Christmas, this song wouldn't be possible. I ask you to join me in singing Joy to the World. You can stand if you want, or you can remain seated.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let her receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him a
never had that moment with God, have that moment with God. There's no fancy prayer, just understanding of truth. Call out to him in faith. He will save. He will not reject anyone who calls on his name. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. The greatest gift you'll ever receive is Jesus Christ, the baby born in a manger. I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you back here tonight. Thank you all for coming.